Welcome to the Josh Ryan Show, a weekly podcast where I sit down and chat with highly successful digital entrepreneurs, experts, and creators to uncover their stories, secrets, and lessons that they've learned along the way to help you with your own projects. Let's get into today's interview. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So today I am joined by Adrian Brambilla. He is an ex-professional dancer turned eight-figure affiliate marketer who then started sharing his tips and tricks on TikTok to now build an audience of nearly a million followers. And on top of that, you've up until recently been living in a van cruising around the country. So quite a range of things. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. And Josh, we just were talking before here. I haven't talked to you in since 2018. We met at Funnel Hacking Live. And it was, you might have been the youngest person I met there already, just light years ahead of everyone. So it's cool. And we've kind of keep in touch via social media. We're both very interesting people, you know, creating businesses and value online. It's just, I consider you like a close but also distant friend. So I'm one of your probably top fans from just watching all the things you're doing. It always makes me curious.
Cheers, man. I appreciate that. I feel like in the digital marketing world, there's like a lot of people who you like don't talk to all day, every day, but then you talk to them and it's like a real good, like your close friends. But then, yeah, I remember 2018. I thought it was 2019, but then as we just discussed, 2018 in Orlando. I remember you had that wicked dance off in the street of Orlando with, I can't remember the other guy we were with, but
Katsu.
Yeah, yeah. Going at it. That was pretty wicked.
I forgot about that. That's fun.
Yeah, that was unreal. So what got you into digital marketing from starting out after, like, because you were dancing, you were, I believe you said you were in one of the Step Up movies even, and then you made the transition into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so I'm 33 now. When I was 20, I got a lifetime opportunity to dance for T-Pain. And it was through that process of dancing for him, we got a lot of opportunities and gigs from that, being an official dancer. So one of those was to do...
Apologies to interrupt your listening experience, but I just wanted to jump in and say, if you're enjoying this podcast so far, I would really appreciate it if you went ahead and left a review on whatever platform you listen on. By simply spending 5 or 10 seconds to leave a review, it helps us reach more people and grow the podcast, which allows us to get better guests on and give you better content. So if you're enjoying it, let me know with a review. Much appreciated. Thank you for your support and enjoy the rest of the interview.
Step Up 3D's music video. And on top of that, just life-changing experience for, you know, a 20-year-old. And I had just started dancing just 2 years earlier, and I learned from YouTube in a very, very small town called Dubuque, Iowa, of all places in the world, which is probably the most opposite place you to become a professional dancer. So the when I was touring, I actually never really wanted to be a professional dancer. It just kind of just happened. And I'm sure you have hobbies. I have a lot of hobbies. I play a lot of pickleball now. And if the opportunity became professional in one of the hobbies that you're in, of course, why would you say no? So I said yes, yeah. And I pursued it. But all the while, even in my first week, it was amazing. But there was already things that were the environment that made it very dangerous if you were impressionable and maybe did not have a solid foundation of your morals, because any temptation you could ever want is provided to you when you are in the camp behind someone who is just that A-list type of celebrity. So anything you want, and it's around you all the time. So dancing, I actually started dancing as to not drink in college. So it was actually my outlet to be sober. Not that I was a drunk, but just to basically focus and pursue that versus a lot of college kids waste their time partying. How old are you, by the way, now?
22.
22, yeah. So you seem someone who was maybe closer to me in terms of how much time you spent partying versus maybe tinkering around online.
Yeah.
But so T-Pain is actually a pretty legit entrepreneur. He... put auto-tune on the map. Auto-tune, he didn't invent it, but he made it very popular, and he actually had an app back in the day. He was on Ellen DeGeneres, where he would speak into the app or sing, and then it would translate it and make it auto-tune, so make it fun. He owned strip clubs and, you know, retail stores, and had his own alcohol. He was a serial entrepreneur. So that's my probably just eyes wide open and soaking it all in, not really understanding what I'm seeing, but just being really like inspired. Because when I was 20, dancing for T-Pain, T-Pain was only 26. And so he already had an eight-figure net worth and was crushing it. You can look up T-Pain's financial habits. He went through some roller coasters of losing it all, you know? Sometimes when you gain a lot of wealth, especially at a young age, you know, you don't have the financial background of what to do with it. But, there was one experience that really helped me change my direction to pursue marketing. Cause I didn't know what I wanted to do, exactly. And when he launched a song in front of us, it was called Reverse Cowgirl. Just a heads up, that's not a Western. So he launched that in front of us, basically pressed the button and had millions of downloads within probably like 10, 20 minutes. And so iTunes back in the day before Spotify, 99 cents a download. So I watched him make millions in minutes with the click of a button. So that was the like just insane. I was so broke. So I was like, how? Yeah. That's insane. You like to have people willing, ready to pay you. Once you have something released, they've never even heard of it, but they love you, they like you, they adore you. And all you have to do is say, hey, I got this new thing. And not just a few, but millions of people flooding in. I found that just absolutely fascinating. And I have not made, you know, millions in 10 minutes, but I've launched many things very successful. And today I definitely have... my net worth is, you can look it up if you want, it's online somewhere from being on articles like Business Insider, but I've made way more money than I ever thought I could. Last year I took in $1.7 million, so after taxes. So that's like crazy to me because I never thought I'd make six figures. So that it's all based on that concept of scale and the opportunity that the internet can provide, which I don't know if any other type of business model can.
Yeah, I mean, that's an unreal story going from that side of things, seeing someone make a ton through media, I guess, and then going into it yourself and being very successful. And I definitely agree. I don't think there's nothing that quite scales like media. But what did you go straight from, like when you had that realization of putting things out on the internet, did you go straight into affiliate marketing from there? Or did you sort of try a few things and then sort of land on that? Like, how did that look?
When As Fast As Tour came, it ended. And so I was 21. I stayed in Iowa to finish my fourth year of college. And then I also started my first YouTube channel, which was teaching people how to dance the robot. It was the only thing I was really good at, robot dancing. And so I thought that I could teach people online. Being a YouTuber was not as popular as it was back then as it is today. But I learned of people who could create content and make a living from it. And so that was my, I guess, first pursuit. But it ended up being terrible. It took me 2 years to make probably less than $100. And I was just posting. I was posting maybe one to two, like how to do an arm wave dance move tutorials online. And I think after 2 years, I probably had like 10 to 15,000 subscribers, but I had no money. I was spending so much time. My mom was still my biggest fan. I was watching it most of my videos. And I think the thing that I obviously now realize is like you actually don't need a lot of subscribers to make money. You need to have something to sell you need to figure out how to monetize first before you start creating content. And then it doesn't matter how many subscribers you have. You can make money without any subscribers. But back then, I didn't know. But it was after right around 2 years where a subscriber of mine said, I love your tutorials. And if you make a 60-minute or make a more in-depth tutorial, I'll pay you for it. And so that was my first product I started working on. And then like 2.5 years in, I launched it. And then that month, I made over $1,000 from selling a $25 60-minute dance tutorial. And then that $1,000 grew, started to grow to a couple thousand and even as high as $5,000 to $6,000 a month from selling that dance tutorial, which was at the time super life-changing because I was working at a call center at Prudential Retirement making $27,000 a year. So it was like 2.5 years of very little to show. And then from that 2.5 year to 3 years, I made more than I did in my 9 to 5.
That's unreal. Sometimes it often is like a long time. And then you have that one like realization, like that person leaving that comment of, you know, I'd pay for this. Mm-hmm. And then you make that small change here or there and things just take off. Cause how long ago would that have been? Was that 5, 10 years ago? Cause YouTube can't have been like even that, like it must've been very new back then as well.
Yeah. So that was where I started to launch my tutorial. That would have been when I was like 23 to 24. So again, That's like 9 to 10 years ago. And then after that, I learned actually through about affiliate marketing, which is how I make most of my money today. Also from a subscriber who, I was starting to get maybe like around 50,000 subscribers where I felt I was getting popular online because I was getting comments every single day and raving fans, and they wanted to watch every video. They wanted to learn what sweatshirt I was wearing, what shoes I was wearing, what a product I put in my hair, like all these questions. And I would tell them, but I don't know how I stumbled upon that I could actually make money from the recommendation, which is affiliate marketing. You recommend, hey, well, this sweatshirt is from PacSun. And instead of just sending them to PacSun, I can actually sign up to be an affiliate for PacSun. And then they click on my link and they buy and they make a commission. So I learned organically about affiliate marketing through my fans. But it was all dance related, and the money I was making at the time, because I'd still never ran a paid ad before. And so it was probably making like just a few $100 a month, which was a nice side income from the dance tutorials.
Yeah. And all you have to do is literally just go create the links for those products and add them into the description of your content. And it is relatively passive, but that's a really solid strategy that I think more people are aware of affiliate marketing and so on now, but you can literally just create content around something you're passionate about or interested in, and then mention the products you use in the description as an affiliate, and earn a consistent, relatively passive income from it, or passive monetization. You still have to create content, obviously.
Right. Actually, it makes me think of something I'm doing right now. I just started. It's my second month. I signed up to be an affiliate for Acorns, which is an investing app that is traditionally known for taking your spare change and investing it for every time you swipe your credit card. And it's a great app. It auto invests into like a really balanced portfolio of index funds and ETFs. It's not like an app that you use for like trying to day trade. And I created a few reels, Instagram, post them on Facebook, put on YouTube Shorts, everywhere. And then just talking about Acorns and introducing it. And the bonus is Acorns will invest the money that you make into the investments. So it's like free stocks, free investments. So last month, I had $750 put into my investments from the referrals. And then already I'm at like 575, and it's only May 2nd. So like I have one video that's blowing up, but that's zero ads. That's just me talking about like this investing app. And that's just like such an easy, quick win to create content about a specific product and then link your affiliate link. It's such low hanging fruit. It's an abundance of opportunity. It doesn't require any technical experience. The only thing that you do have to do is, you know, put your face on camera and talk about something. And sure, there's maybe more of a mental challenge to do that, but the reward for that risk of maybe putting yourself out there is always worth it to take.
Yeah, I just saw your story Because you just posted that on your Instagram story, right, about the 575. I thought that was from one referral for some reason. I was like, wait, what? But that's the accumulation over the year. Yeah, you literally, I guess, just creating content around products you find useful and getting paid for it. It's a pretty awesome business model. Sadly, in my niche, is I don't like a lot of the Instagram products that people build because a lot of them are just sketchy, so it's tricky there. But I've still got a few that I promote, and like I will get paid much more than my AdSense from the, I think there's about three different tools that I mention, like a Canva for content creation and TubeBuddy for ranking videos and a hashtag tool. And like, yeah, like it probably triples my income from AdSense to actually just mentioning the products that I use. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely something people should be looking into.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that your main strategy for how you're promoting these affiliate products now? Like you will literally just create content on social media talking about the products and then just link it back?
Yeah, so I think to piece the timeline together, after my dance tutorial business was able to make enough money where I felt comfortable to leave my 9-to-5, at that time I had left the call center, I was working at an agency, and then working at a marketing agency that did marketing for small businesses, like lead generation. And that really inspired me to want to launch my own agency. So this is now like in 2015. I launched my own agency, and then my risk was alleviated from leaving the 9-to-5 because my side hustles, my dance tutorials, were covering enough to pay the bills and cost of living. And then today I have an agency, and it's actually my biggest business I never talk about. It's 30 employees. So they're all based in the US, and our industry or niche vertical is credit unions. But where I actually make most of the money, like cash flow wise, is not through my agency. There's overhead staff, you have to pay them, you know, and you want to pay them well to do so they stick around. So I love my team. I invest a lot into them, but my affiliate marketing actually pays the most. It's the cash flow that comes in. It's so passive. And the strategy, most of the money I make is not me saying, hey, this is a really great shoe, buy this shoe, and Adrian approves it. And I never do that. I actually sell most of my products to females, and they're female based products. So like a yoga product that's catered towards females, a fasting tea that's catered towards females. So Peak Tea, Lady Boss is one company, that I scaled to, seven figures. Their first affiliate, I think their only affiliate now, because I just heard Lady Boss is no longer going to be around. But so how does me, a dude, able to sell female products? And really, it's based off brands I've created. So I have a female fitness blog or brand, a makeup blog or brand, and basically I have a dozen. And through these brands, I'm curating, creating content, and then marketing that content basically as like probably the most used form is like a listicle, seven new green smoothies that you should try to replace your breakfast would be like a headline. That's an ad. The blog is created and the ad's targeted towards a female. They opt in, they make it to the blog. And then in those seven recipes is seven different affiliate links. Or maybe the same affiliate link that's spread into different recipes, they click on it. And then hopefully they buy. If they buy, I make money, and that pays for my emails and ads. And I generate hundreds and hundreds of thousands of emails because I've been doing this now with that strategy for 5 years. And most of the money I make is through brands or products that I'm not, you would never know it's me behind the scenes as like the puppet master running the ads, doing the targeting, and the team that creates the content. My name is not anywhere on, and it shouldn't be, because I'm not the even relatable to the persona that we're targeting. That's how I've scaled. And I've kind of done, I don't know if anyone else is doing this. So I keep saying this on podcasts I go to in case someone can find someone like me. I promote over 500 different companies right now. So when I say active, I don't just mean I signed up for 500. I've actually probably signed up for over 20,000 affiliate programs. I mean, I actively on a 30 to 60 day window get paid by up to 500 different companies. So promoting a lot.
That's huge. And I guess it's quite good how you've almost removed yourself from the equation so you can scale. Like, you've got people that, like, the blog isn't related to or isn't reliant on you getting in front of the camera or you doing this. Like, you can just fully automate it, which I guess allows you to scale more. And I imagine if you wanted to sell it, you probably would be able to get quite a high price for those because it's not reliant on you.
Yeah, that's an awesome point. A personal brand, I think, is very advantageous because people relate to it. You can tell your personal story, you know, like your story, Josh, and it's great. But I don't think we'll ever get, you won't be able to sell Josh Ryan and assets, and I won't be able to sell Adrian Brambilla and assets. I don't think so. Maybe, but probably not. But my other brands, I could definitely sell them. They're entities that exist without me, and that's, I think, more of like a real legitimate business. But I will say, if you're listening and you want to do affiliate marketing, what's the easier route to success? I think it's personal brand. I think a non-personal brand is great for long-term success and definitely should pursue that. But if you're looking for like quick wins and validation, the personal brand is, I think, really easy to start and see success quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that as well. I think it's probably easier to make an income with a smaller audience with a personal brand compared to, I feel like there's more trust there, which usually means you can sell higher ticket products. I mean, I'm sure you can do that through any kind of brand, but I find like you see people that might only have, even on Instagram, a few hundred followers and they're making a full-time income because they're selling some sort of $1,000 a month service and they've got a lot of trust there and rapport. But definitely when it comes to scaling, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get more like brands going where I'm not a part of it. I've got my Instagram account, like the motivational Instagram account, which I've removed myself from. And so trying to go down that similar route to yourself there, and that's doing all right. And people are definitely offering to buy that as well, but probably not something I'll sell just yet, but it seems to be tricky to get it going and build those up. It takes time. What would you say are the biggest mistakes you see people making who are getting into affiliate marketing?
100%. The biggest mistake businesses or affiliate marketers make is they do not capture a lead. So when you sign up to be an affiliate, you get an affiliate link. This is how the company is able to track your sales. And you can post it on your info box on YouTube. You can put the link in your bio. And those are great. People will click on them and people will buy. But if you don't capture a lead, then you miss out on the opportunity to remarket to that person and deliver value to them to get potentially another commission if you're doing a good job providing value. And so a lot of beginner affiliate marketers, it's easier to avoid learning how to build a funnel and an opt-in page and build a website. Of course, those are all learning curves. But when you do that, when you capture a lead, you start to build an email list. I'm in a position today when a new affiliate offer comes along, nice commission rate, I can go through the hundreds of thousands of emails I have, segment them, and send a very qualified offer to 50,000 people with a click of a button, just like T-Pain in a little way.
Yeah.
And go click. They go, I see how many open, I see how many click, hit refresh on my dashboard. I could keep hitting refresh because I'm about to spike my income. And when you just only focus on getting affiliate link clicks without opt-ins, then I don't think that's a real business, honestly. Like it's like a quick maybe money grab, but that's not sustainable. You're always going to be at jeopardy of algorithm changes if you have a big following on social media and that's how you're using, or if you rank really well on blogs. You're just not protecting yourself long term, and that's the biggest mistake I see.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to mention, glad you mentioned the algorithm side of things, because Yeah, especially with things like TikTok, like you could build a massive audience, but then all of a sudden, like you might just stop getting picked up in the algorithm. Like I think you got even shadow banned on TikTok for a while where you weren't getting like reached to any new people, whereas because you'd built an email list, you could still contact those people directly, send them an offer. Your business is totally fine. I mean, obviously you'd want the additional reach on social media, but it's not like your income disappears overnight alongside the views dropping off.
100%. 6 months, true shadow ban. It was a bummer. It was absolute bummer. But just to lock in that point, after I got lifted and I was growing again, I woke up one day and my entire account was deleted. And I had just a very vague message from TikTok. So at this time I had 800 and almost 900,000 followers on TikTok. And I was like, oh my goodness, like what is going on? And if it wasn't for someone that I met here in Austin, Texas, that actually works at TikTok, I would not have been able to get it back. But it was because through real life networking event that I messaged him. I said, hey, you're the only person I know that works at TikTok. Is there anything you can do? He looked into it and it ended up being an accident. But that's the thing. Oh. If I didn't collect emails, my whole business was just link and bio clicks, like my whole business would have disappeared, right? So we don't own these social media platforms, but you do own your email assets. And it's just so important to do that, to collect it.
That's crazy that it got, like, you would have thought with an account of that size, it would have been some sort of check in place to make sure that it's not, like, I can understand accidentally deleting an account with 10 followers because they thought it was spam or something, but like, an account with 800K getting accidentally deleted is just a bit ridiculous.
I know. I thought I had some clout, but apparently I'm just a nobody.
Yeah, because TikTok seemed to like look after creators really well. Like you see all these people who have even got like 50, 100K followers that get sent these like care packages from TikTok, which no other platform does. You would have thought there'd be a bit more in place.
Well, I did learn, and in learning from the explanation from the employee, I learned what happened and how it happens, how these accidents happen. Anytime, you know, someone posts content on TikTok, an algorithm is looking for potentially bad things. So like a terrorist threat or something that we should not be online. And because I talk about business and money, sometimes that can, what they're just watching out for is they want to make sure it's not a scam. It's not a pyramid scheme. Right. Anytime you say the word money, it is a rich or these keywords, it gets picked up. And then someone has to manually review this. And those people, think of that as like the lowest form of minimum wage job in a third world country. And so this person who does not know truly about affiliate marketing or whatever industry that you're talking about, it's up to them to determine, and they're mass quantities of videos. They're like making these decisions. Yes, no, yes, approve, no, yes. And they're not going to go out on a limb and risk their job and livelihood. If there's a post that they're unsure about, they're just always going to go on the side of no. Same with an account. So I had a few videos that got flagged. All of them were actually legit and they got them reinstated. But because I had three of them happen within a week, my entire account was being reviewed. And that, again, that person is making a speed round decision. Huh, does this look like a scam? I don't know what affiliate marketing is. Click delete, on to the next one. Like, so that's how it works. Fascinating. Yeah. Huh?
And that's even, I think, how like recommending content in general goes. Like if it like it's like if they're deciding whether to push your content out to more people and they're like, this could be dangerous in some way, like that, they're always going to err on that side of caution and not push it out to more people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. I've been lucky enough to never have, touch wood, but never had accounts deleted on social media, but have had them hacked. And same thing, like those personal connections, like two people that I've met in person, like in New Zealand, both times was the reason behind getting it back. So
lucky you.
Definitely important to get out there and meet people and so on. You never know when it'll come in handy. When it comes to building your TikTok, like you're almost at a million. You haven't quite had a million yet, about to get there.
Yeah, 915, I think.
Yeah. And you've built that audience in a niche which is pretty well dominated by people who are flexing material possessions and sort of showing off a rich lifestyle sort of thing. And you don't seem to do that. You seem to be very humble, showing your results and so on, but not like driving Lamborghinis every day and so on. Like, how have you built this audience? And do you think that's helped potentially, like being the opposite to that?
I think being the opposite has helped. I feel like Tim Ferriss has talked about being the opposite as sometimes a really good strategy. So I do talk about money. I do talk about making money online, and I have a course that teaches people to make money, which is new, but still doesn't matter. Just because I talk about those things, instinctively people's radars of BS, and I'm now like an enemy. Like I'm now, just because I started teaching people, like now all of a sudden the person, people judge me now because of these things. Before I was teaching, you know, it was just like, hey, here's this guy making money online. But even then it was more of like, this guy's probably a scammer and he scams people, right? It's a dark and dirty niche. But I felt compelled, inspired to teach people. That's actually my first business, teaching people how to dance a robot. I love teaching people. It's always a blessing to make an impact in someone's life and watch them grow. When I was teaching dance, it was less about dance and more about teaching people how to have confidence. That's what dance can give you. And then money side, it's life-changing. It can change people's lives. So the thing that really just went viral for me was unintentional. I cannot take credit for it. I was talking about affiliate marketing. I was early, so I had an advantage there. I was one of the first 10 people on TikTok talking about affiliate marketing, and it helped that I was I've always been transparent about how much money I make, but that's how I would, I guess, my flexing compared to the other flexing is like, my flexing would be, hey, look, I just got paid $10,000 today from selling this. And that flex, you know, I'm flexing how much money I make. But look, everyone else was saying, like, they would pull up in their Lamborghini and like, you want to have this lifestyle? Like, yeah. I guess the douchebag approach. And so that was already different. But so I was growing a little bit. But then when COVID happened, my wife and I were just moved out of Dublin, Ireland. We still wanted to travel. And so she saw people living in vans and converted vans. And so I'm like, hey, let's do that. So we started living in the van, and I was still making content about business, but now my house and car were the background of my videos. And so I would be like, hey, look, I just made $10,000 today from selling this. And then the reactions were so funny, because it was like, you live in a van and you make $10,000 a day. There's no way. This is so fake. This is BS. There's no way you make seven figures a year and live in a van. If I made even six figures a year, I would not live in a van. And then it was like more people questioned, I would get comments that they thought the entire thing was fake. Like, I never lived in a van. I would just rent out a van and then say I lived in it. Like, it was, because it is such an opposite contradiction to what people believe. The most common, I guess, the common logic of what a wealthy person looks like, what a millionaire looks like, is unfortunately materials, more materials, a big house, a nice car, designer clothing. That is wrong. That is not what a wealthy person looks like. Yeah. A real wealthy person owns their time. How they spend their money is really not relevant at all. And what you usually see on the flex game on Instagram, on TikTok, most of the time these people are trying to project that lifestyle, the status that they're living, and it's usually based on leverage. So they have loans out, or they are renting Airbnbs, or, you know, it's very rare to see someone who is actually wealthy care about presenting themselves in a way that, like, they care about what other people think, and that's why they're flexing. It's usually just inauthentic. So I came across as this, the millionaire who lives in a van. And that's when I blew up really big. I went from like 50,000 followers to 500,000, it felt like, in a month. And then it just kept growing since then. So I did not plan that. But looking back at it now, gosh, it was the best marketing move I could have ever done, was to live in a van.
Yeah. Far out. Yeah, that's unreal growth just from, I guess you would have had, people would have been like, it's almost a pattern disrupt where people expect like you to be, you know, I don't know, in a fancy house or in a fancy car. And then it's like, hold on, this guy's not doing that, but he's making a ton of money and they become interested, or they comment, even if it's a troll, like it's still more engagement, more people mm-hmm. watching your content, pushing it out to more and more and more people. Yeah. And so now you've built that to nearly 950K on the road to a million.
On the
probably
road
this
to
month,
a million.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You know, the yeah. TikTok thing is, it ebbs and flows, you know. And I continuously test. I still create 1 to 3 different TikToks a day, and that's over like now 2 years doing it. But TikTok has been it's still an amazing platform. The reach, when it's flowing your direction, is so generous. And my strategy, you can go on my TikTok, you can see, now that I have a program, I collect leads to a webinar that leads collected, and then I promote now my course. Before, I wasn't really promoting anything. Sometimes I would throw in affiliate products if it was like a product that my face could promote, but still the traffic that it sends is insane. It is absolutely insane. It's a massive traffic generator. And so TikTok, I think, is still a platform people can get started today. It's not too late.
Yeah. And then partnering it up with your email list, like we, I guess, discussed earlier, makes it, those ebbs and flows get evened out, because you might have a really, really good month on TikTok and you gain a ton of email subscribers, and then next month you don't get as much on TikTok, but you've still got that audience of subscribers on your email list, which you can push to different offers. And I assume you've got the automated follow-ups and so on as well in place that are predictably driving more commissions for you.
Yeah. All those things, which do require some learning experience to do. You know, when someone opts in to sign up for your email, you should not just sit there dead. You should have follow-up in place. An email sequence is what we call it. So in mine is probably a month long. And then after that, I just send any other type of communication broadcast out. But on average, since I started collecting leads, 100 to 300 for now, 2 years, probably, from TikTok. And then when a video goes viral, I can see 2,000 emails in a day. That I have a video that gets, you know, a million a plus in a day. It's insane. So there's still that potential. I cross my fingers every time I post, could this be my next viral video? Only to not do it. It's like you keep hitting, it's like a lot of singles, and then you never know which one's going to be home run. It's never what you think.
Yeah. You've just got to stick at it. And just like you say, you said what, 1 to 3 you post per day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just got to consistently put out that content. And then eventually, like, if you're putting in the right actions, one of them's going to take off. One of them's going to do well. What do you think, like, the biggest mistake you see people making coming to TikTok and trying to produce content? And then I guess also the biggest, like, thing people should be doing. So the big thing people shouldn't be doing, and then something people should be doing if they're trying to build their audience on TikTok.
Well, I think to create content on TikTok, I think the thing that is the mistake for, I would just say, not just TikTok, but all content creators, is figuring out the business side first, and then create content. Creating content, I actually think, is the funnest thing I get to do. It's fun to create content and videos and photos. I think it's a blast. And so naturally people go straight into that, and then they don't figure out their business side first. And there's no wrong business model. If you want to be a comedian and an entertainer, that's great, but figure out that first. And then when you create content, you can lead to, there could be a path, a strategy to that end goal. So I see beginners all over the map trying to create content, and they might have a video go viral, but it's completely irrelevant to what they actually want to do. So what is the point of having a video where you pranked your friend go viral? If you are a yoga instructor, if you're a coach, like how does that help you? Yeah. Maybe a smallest percentage of people may take the time to look. And then when they look to realize, oh, you're actually not a prank TikTok account, this is just a one-off. Then how relevant is that to you? Sure, it can't hurt. But I think I would rather have a video that is about yoga, if you're a yoga instructor, get 50,000 views than have a prank that you pulled on someone get 1 million views, because the 50,000 is more qualified and those people can funnel in. So I think having that business plan or idea, you don't have to have the whole plan, but just think about, now, what would be your dream if you started creating content and you had 1 million followers? How would you like, what would you like to do? And how would you like to make money? That question too can answer a lot of things. Do you want to make money by creating something of your own? Do you imagine yourself having your own clothing? Do you imagine yourself teaching people? Does that scare you? You don't want to teach people? Do you just want to be you? That's an answer. I just want to be myself, and AKA you want to be a just celebrity influencer. Then potentially prank videos could be a strategy, because those highly engaging, and you're now becoming an internet personality, and you just want to get paid because the brand will say, hey, here's $10,000 to make a TikTok and say it's sponsored by us. And so that is a strategy, and then that's going to change the type of content you make. You're going to make highly engaging videos versus educational videos. So figuring that out before you get started is going to help you make money. Because having followers is cool, maybe for bragging rights, but the only reason why I create social media content is to make money, is the truth.
Yeah. So having that understanding, the end goal, like what the product, service, affiliate thing you're trying to promote is, and then using content as a way to get people there, as opposed, because I see that a lot as well on Instagram, YouTube, like people will build up an audience and then it's like, what do I sell? And they've put themselves in a niche where they don't really have anything, which is horrible to see, especially if they've spent years building that, or even 6-12 months, like now they've got nothing to promote and they're like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask this before, but then I forgot to. When it comes to email marketing, do you have a preferred, like, I'm sure you're an affiliate for one, probably, I would be surprised if you're not, but do you have a preferred platform that you think is best for people to use in this niche?
Right now, I am a fan of ConvertKit because it's easy to use and understand, and you can create very nice email sequences based on if and then scenarios. So if someone clicks on this link, then send them this follow-up email. And through that, you can create a nice connectivity of emails that are based on actions or behaviors, or lack of actions and behaviors. And that is the intuitive part of email marketing. That is not the 101 is just to send an email follow-up. And this is the next level, is like you've created custom communication that's based off what the user does or doesn't do. That's the best. That's where you have made it to the big league. So the ConvertKit makes it actually really easy to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I believe I've used them in the past, but and they were pretty easy to use.
I think a lot of email platforms offer that, you know. So I just think in terms of, like, I like to, speed is a big motivation for me, so it makes it very fast to do these things.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess whatever platform allows you to do that is always going to be the best one. Now that you're back in, like, out of the van life and in a more permanent setting, which one do you prefer? Do you have a favorite one? I would imagine you can get more work done where you're at now, but then you don't get that same travel as well. How's that look?
So I lived in the van with my beautiful wife, Ashley, and the first 8 to 9 months were amazing, romantic. We went from Pacific Coast, San Diego, we went to Red Rock, Sedona, then we went to Wyoming, we went to Key West, Florida. It was absolute blast. And then in the last maybe 3 months of that year, my wife, the space was like getting smaller and smaller. And then like the things that we used to find romantic were now becoming annoyances. And probably in the last month of the year, we were staying at hotels. Like it felt like every week to, like to detox. So I think I'm so glad we lived in for a whole year in a van. Just so cool. Spent so much time outside. I only had Wi-Fi for 1 to 2 days a week. That's actually probably been my biggest hook on TikTok when I was living in the van, like how I made 7 figures this year while living in a van with only Wi-Fi 1 day a week or 2 days a week. So that just goes to all the automations and outsourcing and that I leveraged. It was really like a moment I don't know if I'll ever have again where life seemed very slow and still and amazing. I got to enjoy simple things. Now I'm in the house. I still feel like I have the habits of a minimalist, but I cannot call myself a minimalist anymore. You know, I have a nice house, I have a nice car, you know, I have things, objects, but I can still live with intent. And I am the first 3 months, I did not really, I haven't been like, oh, and I'm going to start working 80-hour work weeks now that I can. I've probably hovered around like 30. And I haven't really found out what the next thing is until recently. And now I feel like I entered an energy. You know how like when, Josh, you probably come up with new stuff and like when you've got a new idea or something and you just feel so energized to be like, oh my gosh, like I can't wait to do this. And then when you're working on it, it's like you just want to keep working on it, but your body can't go along, like you got to sleep. And like that just happened recently. So I know what that is. But these last maybe 3-4 months since we've had the house, I've kind of just been like, I'm going to do a little more work because I got Wi-Fi now, but I'm not going to like scale something or, you know, just go just start being a workaholic now. So it's been nice to like stay in one place, definitely more productive. Having a flushing toilet, the same toilet that you know you're going to the bathroom. Honestly, it's such a simple thing, but it's amazing. A dishwasher. Yeah. Dishwasher is such an amazing invention. You do not realize, honestly. So yeah, it's been nice. Those things have been nice, but maybe in the next month or two, we'll probably get the itch to travel again. Who knows?
Yeah, so you've almost subtracted everything, gone very minimalist being in the van, and then you've started adding back in those things that you want, but still kept some habits and mindsets, I guess.
I hope so. I hope as time goes on, I don't fade all the way to being a consumer, a Western consumer again, because we're the worst. We think that more is better.
Which it more often than not isn't, usually.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact that you didn't have Wi-Fi every day, how were you posting on TikTok? Were you just recording the videos throughout the week and then posting them like all in one day, or how did that work?
Yeah, I would take our one Wi-Fi day, which was a full work day. That was as soon as we woke up until night. So however many hours, probably 12, 14 or more. Like that was a full work day. And then I had, before we got started, I've always used maybe a VA for maybe like 3 years, 4 years. But I hired two other VAs full time to help post the content, create content and manage even my ads that I was running. So everything, I had to train them to think like I do. And the position I am in today, where I promote so many offers, but I don't scale them. Scaling is the burden of time. When you're spending $10 a day on an ad and you want to try to move that to spend $1,000 a day in an ad, that is not passive. That is actually dramatic. When you got something working at $10 a day and then you increase the budget 1,000, then math doesn't stay the same. It fluctuates drastically and you have to test more. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't scale anything last year because I was in the van. I could not look at my ads dashboards. So I took this opposite approach of just keeping things at $10 a day and testing a lot. Because at $10 a day, it's actually pretty consistent. It might change and flow a little bit, but you're not trying to sell 10,000 of a unit. You're trying to sell maybe a few with that budget. And So that's how I got into the position I am today, where I realized, oh my God, I can actually not, I can do the opposite of scale. I can just try to sell a little bit of a lot of different things. And it's super passive because I can train a VA to make decisions for me that aren't too complex and that are very simple based off like rules, and it can just slowly grow. And so maybe while I was even living in the van, I was promoting around maybe 50 affiliate different offers. And so now it's a lot more. So it's just a very different approach, which allowed the me to live in a van and not be stressed out about my ad dashboard or my businesses. It was actually amazing. I felt more than anything, I felt like reading the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, when I was 20. And then I would get off Wi-Fi, and then a week later we'd be at a place to do Wi-Fi and check everything, and then be like, oh my God, I made all this money. It was like, I am the 4-Hour Workweek. This is great.
Yeah. That. So you must've read that book very early on then, if you read that when you were 20. I don't even know when it came out, but it must've been mid 2000s.
It came out in 2008. So I read it when I was in 2011 or 2012. Yeah. That changed. Yep. That book definitely planted the idea in my head that it was like this lifestyle I have today was possible.
Yeah. And I think nowadays there's probably more people online that you sort of like, there's a lot of people online who are living some sort of digital nomad travel lifestyle. And so I think new people coming into the game, like, see that as a possibility. But I guess back in 2011, like, there was probably very few people doing it or publicly doing it. And so that book would have been even more impactful. Like, I read that early on, not 2011. But yeah, that definitely was eye opening for myself as well. To I guess wrap things up and put condense a lot of the advice from this podcast so far, because there's been a ton of really, really good stuff in here. If someone wanted to go from like listening to this, looking to get into affiliate marketing, currently making $0 a month from it, to go full time, like how you did with YouTube, I guess going up to about 5K a month, what would be like the best strategy / bits of advice you'd give them? And then we can mention your product, of course, because that'll be helpful as well, the Brambilla method. But what would be your best, I guess, overview of advice to that person there?
You know, picking a niche and thinking about a persona is probably the first place to brainstorm. Oftentimes, you can make money in a wide variety of different ways, selling pretty much anything. But it's important that as you grow, you haven't picked something that is too specific. So if you wanted to be, let's say you love chess and you're like, oh, well, I know a lot about chess. I'll be an affiliate for chess boards. That is actually pretty cool and great. But if it doesn't work out, if you start creating content and you realize, oh my gosh, like no one's buying this $1,000 chess board. Like I thought I was going to make money, but it's not working. You have to start over all the way from scratch, because you picked something so specific that you cannot migrate that following or any effort that you put in. So it's better as you pick, think about a persona. It would be like, who's the kind of person who plays chess? Someone who likes to think, someone who likes to challenge themselves, someone who likes to focus. And maybe your brand is based off of those type of people versus this one specific product that they may do. And then when you think of that persona, now chess can be where you start. And if it doesn't work out, you can think of something else that persona would tie in. So you don't create chess for nerds brand, right? Don't create something that's based on the product, create something that's a brand, or create content that's based off the persona. And then it allows you more flexibility to test. So that'd be the first thing, is trying to brainstorm what that is. And then the next step, if you don't have any money, then your only option, and it's actually a really great option, is to create content and look at the platforms that are giving you the most exposure for your effort. And right now, this is definitely going to become outdated, but right now I think TikTok is great, but I actually would put Facebook Reels as just a very curious place. It just came out in February. And since February, I now have almost 200,000 followers on Facebook Reels. And the most amazing thing about Facebook Reels is when people say, hey, where do I get this? You can actually comment with a link. So it's been very profitable, which has been awesome. I also would add, if you want to take this seriously, making one post a week is not going to cut it. Like, you got to do at least one a day if you're doing the vertical content game. And then post once a day with your content that is about testing an offer. You could introduce an offer like I do with Acorns, like I talked about earlier. Most of the time, you don't have to do a hard sell. Like, you don't have to sell the content. It's more about introducing. A lot of people don't know products exist that are amazing products. Like, I do not sell anything cheap. I don't sell anything gimmicky. I like selling stuff that helps people, that fascinates people, that people are like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, I would totally buy that. And you can make content about that. And just by you showing up on someone's For You page, talking about whatever product it is, that chance is amazing. And the only other way to do that is to run an ad, and that costs money. And it's very difficult learning curve for a beginner to do that. But right now, all these social media platforms are competing for attention. So you can create one video about, I'll just stick with chessboard, for example, a really cool chessboard made out of Marvel characters, superheroes, right? So you got two things in there. You got Marvel fans and you have chess fans. You can create content like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing chessboard. Look at this. The queen here, you know, the king here is, I don't know, Captain America or whatever. So like, then someone, you're going to naturally get fans or people like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Where do you get that? And then that's just say, hey, check the link in the bio. You can buy it then. So you take that video and you post it on TikTok, and you literally just copy and paste, post it on Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, and Facebook Reels, and whatever else comes out that hasn't come out yet. That's also a vertical video format, because that is just so easy to do. Why not just 7 yeah. extra effort and post on different platforms? But I think if you or anyone took the challenge to do one TikTok a day, or one vertical video a day, and then replicating it out based on a specific product in 30 days, I would say guaranteed you would make your first money online as an affiliate.
Yeah. And that's a pretty quick, like, to do that in a month and like start earning income is very realistic, but like also very fast. Like, you're not taking a ton of time to build that up. And I think anyone can really create a vertical video per day. It doesn't take a huge amount of time.
Yeah, we're talking about literally a 15-second video. And I actually have, I do have students through my program, the Brand Bila Method. And I have seen in my Facebook group someone that says, I spent 2 hours making my first TikTok today. So it, yes, for the absolute newbies and beginners, it is going to take some time. But then I reply to that person and I follow them to say, okay, I know you're posting more now. Like, how long does it take? So, oh, I got it down to like 20 minutes.
So, yeah.
You know, it's like a muscle. You build it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like anything, it'll start off, take people ages, and then chop it down and you get pretty good at it and can pump it out and scale things up. And it's also, I think, really important the way that you said, like, it's, you don't have to hard sell people. It's more, like you say, showing people. It's not like an infomercial from back in the day where you have to yell, you know, to buy this and all these features. Like, it is literally just showcasing the product, and people that are interested will check it out. Awesome, man. So this has been very, very insightful, and I think a lot of people will learn a lot from this. If people want to get more from you, see, like, connect with you on social media, find out more information about your free content through email as well as your courses, where can people go for that? I can drop any links in the description below as well.
Awesome. On TikTok, I'm at Adrian Brambila. And then if anyone wants to learn affiliate marketing, I did create a beginner course last year, in the middle of last year, called the Brambila Method. It went crazy viral. In the first couple weeks, we had thousands of students join, and the results have been just amazing. It is probably the most exciting thing I get to do, is check my Facebook group of students and see their success stories. And we have beginners. I mean, we have truck drivers and nurses and teachers and, you know, people that just are looking for, trying to figure out this thing and how to make money online. So it's catered for the ultra beginner. It's a program that will not make you a millionaire, but it's a program that'll help you make your first $1,000 online through, I think, very simple business models that don't cost money. So brambilamethod.com is the link for that.
Awesome. And TikTok, help you get to 1 million followers, hopefully soon, hopefully this month, potentially.
I hope so.
We'll see. And you also have a YouTube channel, correct? I remember, like, I've watched a few of your videos there and got a ton of stuff
Yeah.
Off that as well.
Thank you. Yeah. It's Adrian. Just search my name, Adrian Brambilla, and it should pop up.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. Like I said, a ton of very, very insightful stuff on affiliate marketing, digital businesses, living in a van, quite the interesting life. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more adventures to come in the future and cool projects.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Josh.